Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
When I was a kid, little kid, we meaning my parents, and my sister at that time, well, even two as my brother and other sister came along. We went to our grandma and grandpa Williamson's house a lot. That would be my dad's mom and dad. We were over there quite a bit. My grandma, she kind of put out the demand that she wanted her kids and grandkids at her house a lot. So we were there a lot during the day, evenings, family events, birthdays, holidays, whatever it is. We were at their home. Wasn't a fancy home. It was just a story and a half home and driveway and garage. Those of you familiar with Kenosha, Wisconsin, they lived right on 75th Street. If Tom Puckett was here today, he'd be saying, "I know where that's at." Maybe you're watching today, Tom. Bless you. this is from when I was even before kindergarten. I was a little kid. And when we were over there, and it would be in the evenings, and it was already dark outside, and, there would be some who were watching the TV out in the living room, and others were out at the dining table, and they were playing cards or games or whatever. I'm just a little kid, and because I was the oldest of the grandchildren, first one to come along, I had to learn how to entertain myself for a while. All of you oldest children, you know about that. as the evening rolled on and we'd have chips and snacks and all of this, and, I didn't always like just sitting around. I was doing something. So I would, I don't know what it was. I just would entertain myself a little bit. And off, kind of in the middle of the house, there was just a kind of a short hallway, and first door on the right was the bathroom, and there was a quick door on the left that went to the other entrance into the kitchen, and then another door on the left that had a stairway go upstairs. In between there, hung on a wall, there was a phone on the wall. You have no idea what that means, probably, your generation. Remember, and you'd pick it up, and you'd crank it. No, I'm kidding. It wasn't that far back. Crank it, and it had one of those, 16-foot phone cords, or spiral around, and, I go down the hallway and spin that thing and put it back. And then you go further down the hallway, and on the left was the master bedroom, and there was like a linen closet at the end of the hallway. And on the right, there was a door to what would be a bedroom, but it was really kind of a TV room. And so in the evenings, Jeff, I would sometimes go down that hallway and it was dark. And then that back room on the right, I kind of walk in there, the light off. It was dark in there. I don't know, it was just kind of scary. To be honest with you, it was kind of scary and a little creepy, and it was dark, and, I kind of back up towards the hallway and turn and then act all natural going down the hallway, but I'd pick up my pace a little bit. And it's that kind where you ever have that creepy, cold goosebump thing go up your back. And some of you are nodding yes. Even some of you men are nodding yes. You just kind of creep and just kind of like, and then the last few steps out to the living room, you kind of go, and then you act normal because everybody's out there. And, it was just, it was just a little creepy, a little scary. And it was so dark. And you know how to overcome being scared of the dark? A Overcome being scared of the dark is you put the light on. His word is a lamp unto my feet.
Amen.
And his word is a light unto my path.
Amen.
That's how you overcome being scared of the dark.
Amen.
Go ahead and turn the lights on. Now, this will take a second here. It's got all kinds of, you know. It's a great light. My son got me this a couple Christmases ago or something like that. Either that or I stole it from his, I don't know where I, no, I, he bought it for me. Yeah, that's how you and I overcome being scared of the dark. Spiritual darkness. Spiritual attack, spiritual threat, spiritual harassment, spiritual oppression, spiritual possession, spiritual darkness, spiritual battles. We overcome the darkness by his word, because his word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. First John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7, I want to read this to you. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light. In him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie. Profess that we follow him, but we don't. We lie. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We close the door on darkness penetrating into our life. In the beginning, God created, right? He said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, and he said, it is good. Psalm 91 says this, you will not fear the darkness. Say it, I will not fear the darkness. Or the terror by night. Nor the arrows that fly by day. You see, he's saying that I am your God and you are my people. And if you walk with me, you will not need to fear the darkness, because you walk in the light. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, then you walk and have fellowship together. Our relationships with one another are right. They're in order. It means a lot to him. And the blood of Jesus Christ washes us, cleanses us from all our sin, that we can walk in the light with him, because he is the light.
Amen.
His word is a light. His word is a revelation of who he is and how he deals with people, how he cares for people, how he cares for you. This is a revelation of God. His word is a revelation of who he is. His word is his will. It's his will. We obey him. It's his word that shines into the darkness. Listen, scripture says the light shines into the darkness, and the darkness cannot, say it, cannot. The darkness cannot overcome the light. Can't do it. I could just bring this message to you because it's true and it's right and it would be good for us at any time. But in these recent days prior to today, Sue and myself have been dealing a little more and combating darkness, spiritual darkness, and the demonic in the ministry. And I know that some of you go, oh, what church did I come to? And they're talking about demons. And we don't talk about it a lot, but I will tell you, and there's always a spiritual battle, but it has exposed itself a little more in people's lives in recent days. And I don't know why. I don't know if there is something that is stirring, or it's just people who are struggling and coming to the forefront with some of their, some of their demons and darkness and oppression and being tormented by spiritual demonic activity. Now, you don't need to get freaked out, and you don't need to get scared, and because I will tell you, and this is the message, you do not need to fear and be a scared of the dark. Walk in the light. Obey Christ. You and I will still have spiritual battles round about us. It's been going on before you even knew or noticed. And when you become aware or see something or experiencing something in your life or someone close to you, you know, your eyes get opened and we sometimes get a little freaked out. We get a little nervous. We shy away from. Listen, this is the ministry of Jesus. You read the Gospels. He healed the sick because some were just sick. He cast out demons which were behind the instigation of some of the sickness, but not all of the sickness. But we know sickness came after Adam committed sin. So we know that sickness is part of this fallen life in which we, through faith in Christ, are redeemed. But we battle things in this life. Sometimes it shows up in the way of circumstances. Sometimes it shows up in some type of spiritual, we'll call it manifestation of something that is spooky, creepy, and maybe you have some stories, and I'm not here. I mean, you have your story, but I'm not telling stories of people's life or what I've seen or what I've experienced in the past, because it's not about that. It's about you and I having no fear as we walk through the valley, even the shadow of death. Some of you may have friends or family members. Maybe they've been involved in divination or witchcraft or whatever it is. Some of you may struggle with spiritual darkness in your own life. Maybe it was generational. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's activity of the demonic that door was opened to it through your disobedience in your life and sin. That may have been an access point. And when we tend to hide it and keep it in the dark, we don't overcome it. But it's when you and I come into the light of Jesus Christ. the darkness cannot overcome the light. Jesus Christ has all authority in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. He has all authority. He descended into hell. He rose on the third day. Now, when he was in hell, he did a couple of things, but the one thing I want to mention is he took the keys of death and hell. And I want you to know that when Jesus descended into hell and took the keys, it was not, I got this big fight with Satan and I finally won. And he I don't know, walked in, descended, however he descended into hell. And he just walked around and said, I'll take those. That was it. Because he has all authority. All dominion. All power. He overcame sin in his life. And he overcame death. And he overcame hell. And he rose again. And made a way for you. Turn to a couple people around you and say, he's made a way for you. He's made a way for you. And when the one who's in authority gives his word is done. Every I will be dotted and every T will be crossed. His word will never pass away. Do you understand what you and I hold in our hands? The word of authority. You and I get to walk in the light as he is in the light, even though we came from darkness. You and I, we have transformed. It's not who we were anymore. It's who we are and who he's helping us become. And I want you to know in this life, you don't have to be afraid of the dark. The arrow that flies by day, he says, you don't have to be fearful of that. You look to Ephesians chapter 6. He has given us a shield of faith. To what? To guard and deflect the arrows, the darts of the enemy shot at us. A shield of faith. Now, how does faith come? Paul writes it in Romans. He says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? Hearing the word of God. His word is who he is. Jesus, the living word. We find it in the beginning of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. Word was God. Jesus came. He is the living word. He displayed who God is. He showed the authority of God. He didn't said what he saw his Father doing. And you and I do not have to be afraid of the dark. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. You know these verses. I want to read it to you. All scripture, talking about God's word, because his word is the light to you and I in this life. His word for you and I has been breathed out and inspired by him. Oh, he said the word, his breath, his dominion, God's power, all powerful. And his word is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man, woman of God may be competent, that you and I might be equipped for every good work. Jesus came, written in Scripture, Jesus came to undo the works of the devil.
Yeah. Thank you,
His word is light. Listen, the Holy Spirit, who knows the mind of God, you find this in Corinthians. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit knows the mind of God. Now, the Spirit has inspired people to write the word of God, the will of God, to bring light, to bring correction, instruction to you and I as we live in this life, that we can walk in the light as God is in the light. He is the light of men. And if you look throughout Scripture, and you will see this in Old and New, but in the New, John 14, John chapter 2, it says the Holy Spirit will guide you in everything, in the things of this life. He will guide you. This is our guide. The Holy Spirit who wrote this, who knows the mind of God, He explains this. He reveals it to you and I so that it teaches us, we comprehend it, we know how to live. We know who He is. We know the blessing that He has afforded us and been generous to us and given us everything we need in His divine power to live a life of godliness. As you know the Scripture, you know I'm quoting verses to you. Listen, His word has been given to us as a light. If we walk in the light, you don't need to fear darkness. It doesn't matter what darkness throws at you. It doesn't matter what threats it gives to you. It doesn't matter what demonic thing manifests in front of your eyes. Listen, all of those things are very real. But you and I do not have to fear that and be scared going toe-to-toe. Temptation you run from, the devil you resist. That's the Scripture. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You do not have to be scared of the dark and the prince of the power of the air. Jesus says he saw him fall like lightning from heaven. Because God has all authority and power. Now you and I forfeit that power in our life when we get scared. When we let fear, anxiety, worry. We forfeit that in our disobedience. We forfeit the beauty of God's authority in our life when we're not walking in the light. But when we walk in the light, we overcome the darkness. Now, we're not to be foolish. We're not supposed to just waltz in and wheel in and be arrogant and those things and thinking so much of ourselves. This is all about Jesus' righteousness in us. There is only one righteous, it is Him, and we're to walk humbly with Him. But He is for you, He's not against you. And He has lived out, and we get to read about it in the pages of who God is and the dominion power that He has over spiritual darkness. And if we're walking with Him, you and I should have no fear of evil, right? Is that what the psalmist writes? I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, right? You even prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You know what that means? He prepares a table for you. Joe, you're sitting in front. I know I use you a lot, but it's because you're sitting in front here. Prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemy. Come eat. Come drink. Relax. enjoy. You're safe. And your enemy can't do a thing about it. He can accuse you. He can call you names. He can threaten you. He can whatever. But the Lord has prepared a table for you right in the face of your enemy. And your enemy can't do anything about it unless you forfeit it and let him.
Amen, amen, amen.
We forfeit that through our fears, through our worry, through our disobedience. Do you remember in Matthew 25, the parable of the 10 virgins? They're a wedding party. They're the bridal party. These 10 virgins are kind of attendants, and they are waiting for the bridegroom to come so they can shout it out, "The bridegroom cometh!" In other words, bride, make yourself ready. He's here! Woo! Heidi, Friday and Saturday, you're going to be making yourself ready. Because Saturday, early evening, you're getting married to that guy. She's going to be getting ready. And she's going to have her girls around her, and they're going to be getting her ready and doing all whatever they do. Ten virgins are there. It's night. And they have lamps. Okay, not like this one. They have lamps. And five of them have oil and brought oil with them. Five of them only had a little bit of oil, and they're running out because they didn't know when the bridegroom's coming. And those five are going, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do?" And so they talk to the other five and say, "We didn't bring enough oil. Can we have some of yours?" "No. We don't know when he comes. We need this oil because we need to have the light on. We need to be able to see when he arrives. This lamp shines in the darkness." And those five ran off, and the bridegroom came. Five foolish, five wise. What I want to point out in this is the oil is the fuel for the light. And if you look through Scripture, the Holy Spirit is equated to oil. Zechariah chapter 4, and actually oil is mentioned well over 200 times in the Scriptures. And almost on all occasions, it is equivalent to the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, the power of God. Zechariah chapter 4, it says he has a vision of a lampstand with olive oil. And the Spirit, the oil, is fuel. Because he explains the word to us, the mind of God, and it fuels us, and his word, it brings light. Acts chapter 2, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Isaiah 61, and Jesus, we see him quote it. "For I have been anointed to preach the gospel." Set captives free, right? Deliver the oppressed, heal the sick, right? He was anointed. The oil of anointing. I'm telling you, it's why it's so important for you and I as believers to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Why it's so important for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to be baptized in the Spirit with physical evidence of his power and through the signs of power, including speaking in tongues as a physical representation of this inward anointing that has happened. It's why Jesus said it. It was for them. Peter preached it. It's for you. It's for all of your children and all those who are far off who become believers in Christ. all to fuel and explain the power of God through His Word in the life of the believer and who He is, so that you and I don't have to be intimidated in the presence of darkness. No fear. We don't hear about it a lot in the American pulpit. We think all the demonic stuff shows up in other countries, the dark countries of the world. And we can slowly be duped into, this is what Jesus did. It was the deliverance ministry of Jesus, and we don't really deal with that here. And we don't deal with it as much as other countries that I have traveled to and have been a part of ministry and preaching and the ministry of deliverance, which, by the way, I have a real problem with that title, but that's just a personal pet peeve. I know it's what we identify, the ministry of this, the ministry of that, and I get it, and I brought it up, I finished explaining to you. I don't have a problem with the title. It helps us identify what the ministry and what kind of ministry it is. But I just look at it this way. It's just the ministry. It's not just the ministry of deliverance. It's just the ministry of Jesus. It's just part of the ministry. Like praying for people, visiting people, loving people, caring for people, giving to the poor, caring for widows. The list goes on. It's just part of the ministry. I want you to be very careful, because there's been some observations made by those who deal with this constantly. They've observed a few things. They've noticed when they talk with people that beyond it being generational, if you have unforgiveness, hatred, and resentment, it's something the enemy uses to as an access point to really torment people. They've observed this when they talk with people after they've been delivered. Sexual immorality. You have to remember, the scripture says the body was made for the Lord, not for sexual immorality. Now, God has designed the body for sex, but within His design, right? It becomes a real access point for people. Drug addiction. Another real... Now, I'm not telling you that if you have been involved in these things, that, oh, that's it, you've got a demon. That's not what I'm telling you. I'm just telling you that we leave things for the enemy to get a hold on and a grip and get to have access and gets to play with our life. This anointing oil, and you've heard me probably say this before, back in the Colosseum of ancient times, where they would have men wrestle each other, before they go out, they would rub them down with oil, because they became slippery to hold on to. Made it difficult. And when you and I walk in the light, God's Word and the Holy Spirit empowers us and lives in us. He brings this power and presence of God, and it's this oil that makes you very slippery to the enemy, because you're living for Christ. The Holy Spirit ministering the Word, you become really slippery to the devil. Whoosh. Yeah, because he has nothing to hold on to. Because you're following Christ and you're being led by the Spirit, and you're letting the Spirit of God's Word, God's mind, be revealed to you and taught to you. Why don't you stand up, please? I want to encourage you to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, who revealed to you and I the mind of God, has given us His Word. I'm telling you, do things His way. Don't come up with your own conjectures. Don't operate in the flesh. Because the weapons you war with against darkness are not carnal or flesh or blood. You and I cannot pull down strongholds or help the demonic be set free in our own power. It is Him. It is Him. It is Him who does it. In us, through us. Agents and children of the light, children of the Word, children of obedience to Him. You do not need to fear. Listen, I understand the anointing oil. I understand something weird's going on in your home and you want to anoint your house and the threshold and all the doorways and everything. I'm not against that. But I'm telling you to take care of this house and what's going on in it. Because when you do, the Spirit's presence and God's power can walk anywhere into darkness, and it will not overcome the light. See, anointing your house or whatever is not trickery. Should be an expression of a person who has taken care of the house in faith, who can walk in and darkness cannot stay, because darkness cannot be comfortable in the presence of Jesus. So when there's a confrontation between Christ and the darkness in your life, and there will be confrontation. There will be conflict. Part of following Jesus. But you don't have to fear. He has given you everything you need in His divine power to live a life of godliness, for the anointing of the Spirit to empower you beyond your own resource, to overcome yourself. And to overcome the enemy. We love scripture verse like this. He has made you more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror through Him who loved you. Oh, we all go, yeah. But the moment a battle shows up, we're like, oh, what am I going to do? The plate moved. Somebody's tapping on the window and nobody's there. And I'm not making fun of these things. But we get all scared and freaked out. Watch this. I'm going to show you something. I can move a Kleenex box. Did it freak you out? They want to waste their time doing stupid, piddly stuff that I can do myself. They don't really have very much power. So take authority. Make sure things are right. Don't go running in where you are not prepared and where you are not ready. And you're living a life of disobedience and think you're going to wield God's power. Walk in the light as He is in the light. Here's your benediction today. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is my life and stronghold. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, if he's not the Lord in your life, that's a different story. But the Lord is my light, and he's my salvation. Not because of my righteousness, but because of his righteousness and his kindness to me. He is the Lord of my life, and he's a stronghold. Of whom should I be afraid? Listen, there are more for you than against you. And he has all authority and power. If you have fear, anxiety, spiritual disobedience, guilt, all those things that God has made a way to take care of. But if we don't take care of it, I want you to know, darkness and the enemy, they can smell it on you. Don't kid yourself. They see in the spirit because they're spirit. You and I get hooked on seeing what's physical before us. I'm telling you, you don't have to have any fear in dealing with the darkness. Walk in the light as he's in the light. Spiritual battle. Read the end of the book. You want to see how it turns out? Read the end of the book. So, you and I confess our sin, repent, walk away from it. It is one of the of sin. Walk away from it. It is the greatest spiritual power that you have been given. Because of the Spirit, is God's word, you are slippery to the enemy. Doesn't matter what they threaten, what they throw at you, you don't have to be afraid. You still got to stand your ground in Christ. If it comes to temptation, put on your Hokas and run, or whatever brand you wear. Put on your sneakers and get out of there. But when it comes to darkness, stand your ground. Resist him. And it says he will flee from you. He will flee from you. Why? Because you got big brothers standing next to you. The kids at recess, the enemy at recess, isn't going to take your lunch money anymore. Big brother is standing there with you. Jesus. And he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. So don't forfeit this beautiful gift of God's light and word and will. Read it. Do as it says. For you in Christ Jesus are overcomers.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.